This episode of the DubDub Review is sponsored by Magical Mara Designs. Magical Mara Designs was created by Disney superfan Tamara Spidell. Tamara decided she was going to create cute and comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears because she couldn't find a style or a size that was comfortable to wear all day. So she decided to create her own Etsy shop that featured designs by Maleficent, Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, Ariel, Belle, Tiana, Harry Potter, and more. And if you don't see what you're looking for on her Etsy shop, well, she'll create a style just for you. Again, check out her Etsy shop at Magical Mara Designs.
This is Jeff Barnes of the Wisdom of Walt and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt at the Indy Disney Meet, and you are listening to the DubDub Review Podcast.
Everyone, and welcome to the DubDub Review Podcast. My name is Stacey Nyman, and I am joined by my co-host, Chris Malik. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Excellent. And Pete's not with us. He is still stuck out in, you know, Florida land or wherever he is. So he'll be joining us again in a very near future.
Who knows? Maybe never, right? He's not coming back. Who knows? So
I mean, I probably would kind of hide out if I were him, or if I were, you know. And then we're also joined by two awesome friends, Michael and Christina Black. They are going to help us out with the show tonight. How are you guys tonight?
Very well.
Doing great.
Awesome. So we want to start out just like how we do many times at the beginning of the show and find out what's going on in everyone's life, good things that are happening. Want to start, Chris?
Sure. I've got a couple things that are probably interesting to, well, maybe just to me. Maybe to nobody else, but just to me. But I just came back from a trip with helping Pete relocate to Florida, and I flew Frontier Airlines for the first time. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Michael, Christina, you guys have flown Frontier before?
I have, many times.
How about you, Mike?
No, I've only taken, I think, two flights in my life, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a new experience for me because I'm a Southwest flyer. And Stacey, I wasn't ignoring you. I just know you're not a flyer. So
yeah, I'm not at all. So I have no idea. So go for it.
Well, we're going to give you some travel tips should that occur in the future. So let's just say Scott decided he was going to do it and the family was going to fly. So I'm
That's so funny.
Well, you never know. Mike Rallman was not a flyer until he became a flyer. And now he's a regular.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. I just don't see that happening with Scott, but we'll see.
Maybe a few drinks before he gets on the plane and that might take care of the problem.
There you go.
So I'm a regular Southwest Airlines flyer. And for this particular trip, I wanted to land at a different airport in Chicago. So that's O'Hare, which is right by the house. So I decided I was going to fly something that landed in O'Hare, and I wanted to keep it affordable. And that was like their low-cost flyer was Frontier Airlines. So when you read reviews on Frontier Airlines, Christina, Michael, do you guys pay attention to reviews? Do you guys even do that when you're looking for airfare? Or how do you guys determine which airline to fly?
Absolutely. I mean, cost, of course, reviews. I just put on Facebook asking people about Allegiant, trying to get other people who have flown. Yep.
Okay. So for fun, I guess one of these days, go and do a review on Frontier Airlines or go and look for the reviews and see what comes up. I think they probably have a 90% disapproval rating, at least as of right now.
So, oh, no.
Yeah, I was a little intimidated. Okay. And then you read the reviews and you realize a lot of the reviews are things that you would have easily figured out before you even took the flight. So they charge you for, you're allowed a personal bag, like a backpack. Everybody lets you take on a backpack for free. It's just got to fit in a certain like height and width. And then if you want to bring a carry-on to the plane, they're going to charge you for that carry-on. Most people let you bring on a carry-on for free. If you want a check bag, they're going to charge you. If you want a pop, they're going to charge you. If you want chips, they're going to charge you. Everything is low cost, and then they tack it on. But if you buy it when you book, it's cheaper. If you buy it at the gate, it's more expensive. But I knew this going in, so it wasn't like it was a mystery to me. Mm-hmm. And I was prepared for that. And in many ways, Southwest actually lets you bring on a couple bags for free, and they give you chips, and they give you pop, and if you want to buy beer, that's extra. But I knew what to expect, so I was prepared. When I went on the flight, I'm going to actually give them credit. I actually, you know, sent a couple messages to them on Twitter, and I had a great flight. The flight attendants were super polite. They were respectful. When I walked into Orlando International Airport, I, like, walked in like a stranger in a strange land. I was like, excuse me, Mr. Frontier Airlines, I don't know how to do this. And they were like, you have the app, right? Yeah. Do you have a boarding pass? No, come here. And, like, the guy, like, forced a paper boarding pass in my hand. And I was thinking, oh, man, I'm going to get charged, like, $50 for this thing, you know? And they were, like, super polite about it. And when I went on to
that's great.
They were professional. Yeah, they do. They charge you $35 for a carry-on bag. But my airfare home, it was $50.
Wow.
So tack $35 onto that. It's $85. I could never get that on United, on American, on Southwest. So I was like, oh, man, this thing's going to have, like two engines out, and it's gonna smell like feet. It's gonna be just this terrible experience, right? It was clean, it was nice, it was spacious. You guys heard me talking earlier. The only knock I have on the whole flight was we had a crazy person on my plane, and this is 100% sincere. I probably can't even say all this. I'm gonna have to go and bleep it out. So as soon as we get on this plane, this woman comes walking down the aisle with her bag. And the bag is a carry-on bag. It fits. But this woman maybe was like 80 pounds soaking wet. Just a thin, frail person. But she was just like acting different. And I'm going to use different with quotes. She got to her spot, and you have to lift the bag and put it up above. And someone asked her, can I help you? And so I'm going to go and just use different words, but you'll understand the message.
Mm-hmm.
As she grabbed the person's like hand, and she said, yeah, that bag, I can't lift that. And it would begin with mother, bag, into the overhead bin. This is in the presence of about 20 kids on this flight.
Oh, my goodness. Because
this is Orlando, Florida home, you know? So it's families, right? So she gets this, and, like, everyone just immediately, like, stops and, like, looks around, like, did I just hear that right? During the flight, it was the exact same thing. Everybody that talked to her got an earful. But I don't know if she knew she was doing it. There was more swear words on this plane from this one woman than you could possibly imagine. In a whole team of, like, Navy sailors, this one woman contained it. It was like the crazy cat lady, and it was on this plane. So thank goodness I didn't draw the seat assignment next to her, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would have done, you know? So anyways, that was my good.
Hard.
I also took my first Lyft. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm like the only like person like my age demographic that like never took a Lyft or an Uber before. But that was my first experience taking a Lyft home, too, as well. Have you guys done that, the ride-sharing thing?
No.
I have not, no.
I'm too terrified.
Okay, good. Then I've got an audience here. Let me help you with this then, right?
Watch the CSIs.
Right? Right? Okay, so here we go. Let me help you with this. You download the app, all right? You link it to your PayPal or your credit card, and then it automatically picks up where you're at. And you hit a button that says summon driver, or whatever the case may be, whatever the verbiage is, and you tell it where you want to go. It literally tells you the cost of the trip before you even get on in the car, right? So you hit this if you want this car, or this if you want this style car, or like Uber has like an XL. So if you want to bring the whole family, you order the bigger car and it costs a little more. The only thing was, it told me it was 4 minutes for the first driver. Stacey, I'm sorry, I hijacked your show, didn't I, with me talking here? I'm so sorry.
Gosh, I mean, it's taking up the entire thing.
This is terrible. Michael, Christina, you can't tell anybody about your day. I'm sorry. But this is important. So,
you know, I'm curious.
Yeah.
I want to know about this.
Yeah. So the first driver, it tells me it's 4 minutes away. All right. And it gives you the face. It gives you the car. It gives you the license plate. You're 4 minutes away. Great. I get a call like 30 seconds later from this number I don't recognize saying, yeah, I'm in the parking lot. It's going to take me about 15 minutes to get to your car, to get to you. And I'm like, that's not what the app says.
Yeah. Exactly.
As soon as I hang up, automatically, that driver, like, gets booted, and a new driver, like, appears. Okay, your driver, Renee, is going to pick you up in 3 minutes. And I see Renee's car, and I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't cancel the trip. It just happened automatically, right? Within 3 minutes from there, it said, your driver has completed the trip. Do you want a tip? And I'm still standing. I'm still standing on the curb, and now I'm getting like all hot and sweaty because I've never done this before. I can't figure out this app. I'm still stuck here. It's like 10 o'clock at night. You know, I'm like, this is a terrible experience. But once it says like tip, there's no back button. There is no like button like no, that didn't happen. So I put down no tip, and then luckily on the app, there's actually a spot where you can like give comments. Did you have a problem today? Yes.
I never got my ride.
Picked up, and like where it dropped me off, like wasn't like my location. So I was thinking, okay, so let me go and summon the third driver. I'm gonna get billed like $400 for this trip that's like 3 minutes to my house. This driver actually was really good. She was a woman. She drove up in a Cadillac. She was super friendly, listening to the Cubs game. So her and I were talking about baseball. It was a really positive experience. But I sent a message to Lyft. And true to like their customer service, within like 20 minutes, I got an email back saying that, yes, we can confirm he accidentally hit the pickup button and the drop button. And we're going to credit you the $10.50 for the trip. And we're going to give you a bonus $10 for a future trip. So they like took care of you.
That's great.
So it's not to be like intimidated. I mean, of course, I'm like an expert. I've taken one, you know, in my life. But like they did the right thing. And it's not hard to figure out once you have the app open. So...
That's good review.
Yeah. So there's me hijacking the show, but I want to hear about you guys. Tell me about you guys.
Well, I'll tell you, that story sure lifted my spirits.
Oh my.
Dad jokes.
Oh, he has tons.
It was uber fantastic.
Oh, it continues. Michael,
okay, I'm done.
We're trying to get people to help and listen to the show, Michael. Give me something good, buddy.
I just gave you two great jokes.
That's all you had? That's the day? All right. Christina, let's bypass that. What do you got going on in your life?
Well, I have two things. I'm going to piggyback on your little frontier story. I put out there, I wanted to know more about Allegiant. I've never flown Allegiant. They were having some good prices. But I've flown Frontier many times, and they've always been fantastic flights for me. And I do have a cousin who works for Frontier. So, yeah, I'll be flying Frontier again.
Okay.
Nice.
And to go on with that, I have to actually fly because I will be going to Florida and then coming back up to shoot a wedding here in Ohio. So that's why I'm flying back and forth and then doing that. I got a job, guys. So.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
I have a feeling there'll be more discussion about this, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Fearing more dad jokes, Stacy, what's good in your life?
Well, I finished that half marathon that I've been training for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. So I'm staring at the medal right now. So the medal is, I have all my other medals. My dad made me this awesome holder for them all out of wood from his property in Michigan. It's beautiful. And I thought that all these other medals were kind of big. This one is the size of a potato chip bag.
I saw it.
Like, it yeah. is so uh-huh. big. It is bigger than my hand completely extended. So that's really cool. When we put it on, it was about maybe 3/4 of a mile walk back to our car. And my neck was sore from carrying the medal back to the car. So that was worth it just for that race, you know, to do that race alone. But it was definitely an interesting race. It was all, if you're familiar with Chicago area at all, it started in Hyde Park and we ran pretty much the whole thing all along Lakeshore Drive. So it was beautiful to be able to look at the skyline as we were running down Lakeshore Drive. They closed it both ways, for the duration of the race, obviously. But it was really hard. I had some foot problems the week before the race, and I was having these really intense, sharp pains in my feet. I didn't know if it was my lacing of my shoes or something. And so I was really timid to go into it. And sure enough, at miles 3 and 6, the pains hit on my feet. And when it happens, I almost go down. Like, it's just an immense pain, but then it goes away. And it's the weirdest thing. So it's not like a lingering thing. It just kind of happens and it goes. So thankfully, I was able to kind of adjust how I was moving and was able to make it so I was just not bending my foot for that duration of the time that I was walking the pain out. And then it went away and it was fine. But that kind of freaked me out. It slowed me down. But I finished and it was good and I wasn't last. So that's really good too. But even if I was, it would have still been fine. I wasn't, you know, this was all about the experience. So, and then of course we signed up for next year today. So
cool.
It's not over, but, it was good. It's like fun to have another experience with a half marathon. And I assume everyone will be completely different, but it's all kind of building up the story that I'm this part of my journey of life that I'm in right now. So,
you know, well, Stacy, I want to tell you, I'm impressed that you didn't give in to defeat.
Good one.
Christina, could you push him into the second room? Can you just take the microphone and walk away?
I think the boys need supervision.
Oh, man. I can edit shows pretty well, but this is going to be a challenge. Anyways, could I ask you this question? What was your critical mass? I don't know if I ever did this. So, like, I like to say I'm still an athlete, but I'm a former athlete. And, like, I lack that, like moment in my life where it's like, screw it. I'm doing it. I'm getting on the treadmill and I'm going to start this process. I haven't reached that point in my life. What was your like point? You must've hit a day where it was like, I need to change something. I probably too personal to even ask you on the air. So.
No, not at all. No, I feel like I'm a competitive person, but I'm not really a sports person as everybody should
sports
know already.
Ball.
I'm not really into sports ball, but I was a competitive swimmer in high school. And, so I think I like those sports where you're competing against yourself, and just kind of trying to improve yourself. And I've just always been intrigued by running, and it's honestly something I never thought I could do. I hated running whenever we had to do it running at school and, you know, for swim team or softball, whatever I was doing, I hated it. But I knew people loved it and it was just kind of intriguing to me. So once we signed up for a race and I experienced that atmosphere, that had me completely hooked. And it's such a healthy thing to do, at least, in, you know, hopefully I will never get injured, but, you know, and it's just a good thing. It's a good hobby to have. Scott enjoys doing it too. So we can do this together. And it just feels so accomplished because it's something that I never thought I could do. And, you know, I'm not a small person. I'm working at becoming a smaller person, but it's people look at me and they think that, wow, this is really inspiring that if she can do it, then I can do it. And I'm hoping that that's the case. I'm hoping that people are able to see that and see that it's, you don't have to be the fastest. I'm definitely not the fastest. I'm definitely a back of the pack runner, but I have finally gotten to the point where I can call myself a runner. And it's just, I really feel proud of it. So to answer your question, I think that signing up for the race because I was interested in seeing what it was all about was what did it. And I didn't want to fail. And so I trained. And then that training it all built together into,
okay,
into what it is now.
Okay. And, you know, I think all four of us, if I could speak for us four, and you guys could yell at me later, none of us are built like the runners we see on TV. None of us have that body type, you know? So seeing you do that, it really is cool because I think we're built like everybody, you know? I think we look like most people on this planet. We're not
right.
120 pounds, but 6'3" with these long levers in our legs, you know, and we're not meant to run. So seeing you do that, like, it is really cool and inspiring. So,
I will never share my pictures of this race that I saw. The pictures are so awful. Like, maybe someday if I reach my goal weight, this will be my before pictures because I was like, what the heck? I had all these things in my pockets of my skirt. So my skirt was falling down every single step I took. So every time I took a walk break, I had to yank up the skirt so it wouldn't fall down.
I need
and
to see
so my
pictures.
Skirt is like all lopsided. You can actually find them online, but I'm not going to tell you how. So like my skirt's all lopsided, my like total double chin, like I'm bright red. I look like I'm going to die, but I'm smiling at the same time. I'm like, oh, and it looks like I'm not even moving my feet. Like, my feet are just both on the, it's just, they're horrible pictures. Well, but my last half marathon had really good pictures. So I'm like, I can't, you know, I can't be upset about it too much. But man, those were really bad.
So
listen, Stacey, I applaud you because I did a 5K a couple years ago. And at the end, I went, this is horrible. Who does this crap?
For fun.
For fun, yeah.
All right, so hang on. So these pictures exist, right? You said, Stacey?
Oh, my gosh. You will be able to find them if you look a little bit, but don't look them up, please.
Okay, I won't do it. I need to enlist the right guy to do this. Hey, James, Jamie Price, can I enlist you in this task? You're just the right man to find these pictures for me. Would you help
me? Okay, I'm going to delete everything that I said about what race it was and where it was located.
Okay.
Well, you know what, Stacey? I also applaud you, and it sounds like this is all part of your change and transformation as you go through life, yes?
Oh. Yes, it is.
Dang.
Was that another dad joke?
No, that was a segue. Michael gave us
a segue.
That was a segue.
Nice. You have me all set up to be prepared for, you know, for a little pun action going on. That was a really good segue. I like that.
Well, let's go with it. Go ahead. Let's go with that one. You have to give the intro now, Stacey. Yeah, go ahead. Stacey, go ahead. Give us the intro.
I thought Michael was the one who brought it up. I think that he should do it. Okay, I'll do it. So Chris put out a post just yesterday about a possible show idea, which is what we're going to be talking about today, looking for feedback. He put this on the EDCOT group. So if you're not part of the EDCOT group, join us. Come on over. I think he also shared it on the Dubs Facebook page, but this one got really good responses. But his question was, which character or group of characters from a Disney movie undergoes the biggest change and transformation from the start of the movie to the end? The change could be physical, emotional, or anything else you can think of. And then he asked everybody to list one character and the one who exemplifies the change and give a brief reason why. So this was a really great audience participation show. We're going to share some of the answers that people gave.
And this show actually leads into a couple of different discussions, one of which was actually year running, and the other one we'll get into a little later. So you guys want to go around the table here and read off people's ideas? Does that work for you?
That sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds great.
So let's go in order here of ladies first. Let's go with our guests. So Christina first, Stacey, Michael, then myself. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sounds good. You're up, Christina.
Okay, so I haven't done this before, so am I just reading the first?
That's right.
James, Jamie Price?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. He says, Ray the lightning bug. He starts the movie as an alive lightning bug and ends it a dead one. Oh, my. Okay. I probably should have read that like before.
The little laughy faces should have indicated something was going on.
He has the best sense of humor ever.
He does. You know what? I've learned to appreciate it. His own personal posts too are hysterical. So,
but he goes on.
Yeah. Oh, and then he becomes a star and whatnot.
That part's not important, the star part. It's the alive and dead part.
So I think that would qualify as a physical transformation then, correct? Being alive and dead. Okay, very good.
Oh, poor Ray.
All right, so I have Rick Forbes, and he said Kuzco. Am I pronouncing that correct?
Mm-hmm.
What movie is he from? Is he Emperor's New Groove?
Yes, you must see this.
Okay, so that I know. So it's on my bucket list along with Hercules, I think, was the other one that I need to go.
I'm going to interrupt you, Stacey. So I'm inviting your family over to my house for pizza on a Saturday night, and we will watch The Emperor's New Groove and have pizza.
Yes, I think we need to do that. That'd be great.
All right. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so maybe this is a spoiler for myself then. He becomes a llama. He also grows emotionally and learns that some things are more important than his own self whims. And he posted a really funny picture of the llama. It's very intriguing.
It's a great movie. Michael, Christina, you've seen The Emperor's New Groove?
Yes.
Yeah,
just a couple days ago.
Yeah, we just watched it a couple days ago again.
Did you?
So, yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is a great movie, and it's underrated. It's not like in like people's like oh, I got to see the princess movies. It's a great underrated movie.
Agreed.
Yeah, and Amy Van Swell and Michael Black, look at that, both said that they agree. That's who they thought of
okay.
as well.
Yes, it was so mine, but I knew I was going to be coming on the show, and I had to ask permission if I could put mine on the post. By the time I got that permission, Rick, who is in my brain, takes my answer.
Well, Rick's just a smart guy.
And he is. That's the way it goes.
All right, buddy. You're up with Scott.
I get a long one.
You do.
All right. Oh, this is the Hans. Okay. So Scott Gerke says, I would try to put it in my own words, but here's an article that helped open my eyes. So he shared an article, and apparently he thinks that Hans from Frozen has the biggest change in character than any other, and would seem that his transformation is all thanks to the trolls selfishly wanting Anna to end up with Kristoff. Mm-hmm. I have not heard this. I didn't click on it. I probably should read it. Would they like to share what the contents of the article are? I've kind of heard about this conspiracy theory before.
Well, we're going to give the information, but we can't read it because it's written by people for Cracked magazine.
Okay.
So it's somewhat inappropriate, but they do actually, they do put forth four or five different supportive pieces to this. So it's on Cracked.com, and it's actually called "You Really Have No Idea Who the Villain of Frozen Is." So if you've got 5 minutes, go and check it out on Cracked.com. And okay. You want to tell us what Rick thinks about that, buddy?
Yeah. Rick seems to think that this is obviously funded by the anti-Frozen lobby. And he suspects Peter Ponacorvo is all involved on some level, which I would have to agree as well.
I agree with that as well.
So when I created this post, I thought for sure B-Faxon was going to throw the Little Mermaid in there. Not only for, like, emotional transformation, but, I mean, literally for physical one. But she actually goes against that, and she says, you know I'm going to go with the Little Mermaid, but I chose King Triton. He has to learn how to let go one of his children, and that's very hard for a parent.
Yeah.
And people were surprised. Rick Forbes thought, I thought for sure you'd choose Ariel. So it seems to be that was one that was tailor-made for Ariel, but she went the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
Christina.
Yes.
You've got...
Tyler. Sorry. I was trying to pre-read some of these just so I'm not caught off guard again.
Yes, Chris. Did you have a question?
Yes.
I'm totally here. All right. Tyler Lee. I picked the Beast. He goes from Prince. Beast dies. Why do I keep these? And then goes back to a prince. He experiences every emotion possible, from vanity, depression, anger, and love too. His character is a complete roller coaster ride.
Yeah, the Beast was my pick also. I think that that's a great example of transformation.
Both physical, emotional, mental, everything. That
yep.
I don't know if you could get much better than that.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, Roseanne Alfieri Wilson says Elsa for obvious reasons, and I think that that's another great one. She really did change a whole lot. If you think about poor little Elsa as a child and how she felt and how scared she was to hurt her family, and then she had all those issues in the middle of the movie. I don't want to give any spoilers, but she really does come
full
circle.
If they haven't seen Frozen yet.
I'm mostly doing it for Pete because I'm still holding out hope that he'll see it and love it, and you know, but she does. She has an amazing transformation.
He blew me away by saying that he saw Moana. I was surprised that Pete
I know.
Saw right. So,
but he won't see Frozen. I mean, if everybody should watch it, if only just for Olaf. If that's the only reason you watch it, I made my dad watch it just for Olaf.
Okay.
And it's just, you know.
I didn't think it was that funny. I mean, it was funny in parts.
Mr. Dad Jokes doesn't think that Olaf is funny.
Hello?
What is wrong with you?
Do you not get the just for Olaf? Olaf?
Oh, never my mind. Gosh. Okay. You got me.
Moving
how do you
right
live
along.
With this guy, Christina?
I think you made notes for today.
When I have to live with it.
I think you prepared for this. All right.
That was a good one. That's so funny.
Okay, so next is the person who started my losing streak in the Edcott Fantasy Football League. Okay, Beth Brooks says that Wart Arthur from The Sword in the Stone went from an innocent orphan boy to king. So that was definitely a transformation.
And you know what? I just may, in fact, leave that whole exchange in just so I can re-summarize that Beth Brooks annihilated you in fantasy football. But I'm not doing any better, so don't worry. My team's struggling as well.
I was going to say, who hasn't annihilated me? We've been through 3 weeks, yes. And I thought Fitzmagic was going to help me last night. Not so much.
He didn't. So. Chad Pennycuff, Carl Fredrickson at Up. Can I make a dirty Disney confession? I've never seen the movie Up. Is that embarrassing? I'm embarrassed.
Yes.
I'm embarrassed.
It's a little embarrassing, yeah.
It's a life story age-wise. We follow him almost, but not quite, his entire life. He grows up, becomes grumpy old man, and changes to become a wonderful mentor for Russell. Absolutely beautiful Kleenex requires story. My second would be Lightning McQueen. He goes from young cocky jerk in the series to become genuinely selfless and focus on others when he becomes Sally's coach and mentor. I actually thought Lightning would be a great example of this because his personality goes from A to Z in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a really good example. Christina, do you want to read this one from this guy, Michael?
Oh, he's a funny one.
Okay.
No. Michael Black chose Pinocchio. He says, since Rick Forbes took my other one, I will go with Pinocchio. He goes through a physical and emotional transformations. Rick Forbes says, I almost chose Pinocchio. And Lisa Yost says, Pinocchio creeps me out.
I didn't see that.
Okay. Okay.
Pinocchio is a traumatizing movie. It really is. Yeah. Griffin watched it with me and cried. I mean, this is just a couple of years ago. And he's just like, I just don't like it. I don't like this movie. It's just really sad and scary. And I'm like, yeah, it is kind of. It's a traumatizing movie.
How do you do with Alice in Wonderland? Did you ever see that one?
I don't know, but I loved Alice in Wonderland growing up. And I wonder if I watched it now, how I would, what I would pick up that I didn't pick up as a child.
I've tried it a few times and it's pretty weird as you go along. You're up, kiddo.
All right. So I have this really beautiful lady. We love her so much. Her name is Christina Black. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of her, but she said that I'm going to have to go with my favorite movie of all time, Tim Allen in The Santa Claus. He obviously has some physical changes, but he truly understands the true meaning of life and happiness by the end of the movie. I love how you went with a live-action movie and kind of off the beaten path from when people think of Disney movies. You know, they tend to forget those. So that was a great pick, I thought, and I totally agree with you. And that's one of my favorite movies as well.
You've seen it, and I guess I would say believe it or not, but you would believe it, I have not seen it.
Oh, it's so what? Good.
Okay.
Oh,
right,
man.
Now, Chris.
Yes.
We are no longer friends until you go and watch that movie.
No, I was going to go the other direction and say, we'll have a pizza night.
Okay, that one's better.
And you can come over.
We'll watch the Santa Claus. Okay.
Yeah, oh, it's so good.
That may become difficult, though, in the future. Right?
Well, it may be easier than you think.
Okay.
You never know.
Okay. So, Michael, you're next, buddy.
Okay. I'm going to go with, I think probably the next one is probably the one that got me the most when reading it, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Van Swole says, I'm going to go with Simba. We see Simba progress from birth to adulthood, physically and emotionally. He endured loss, adolescence, hardship, and lack of confidence before reaching his full potential as a leader. And he says, as a sixth grade teacher, I often feel that Simba best depicts the radical changes that I see in my students in 1 year.
Oh, that's a great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an awesome comparison.
I thought so, too, because, you know, that is the age where, you know, that sixth, seventh grade year where you're just going through some changes. So I could definitely see that.
I stopped changing in the fifth grade.
Wow.
Okay.
I obviously haven't grown, you know, mentally for quite some time. But.
All right. Cindy Altman Ellicott, Miguel in Coco. You guys have all seen Coco?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I don't think I've ever seen the whole thing from start to finish.
You guys like call yourself Disney fans?
I know.
We're trying.
It's been in the car. I've heard it a few times from start to finish because the kids have had it on. but I need to see it from start to finish.
Hang on. This is the one with the kid and the Mexico and the skeleton and all this stuff, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I
haven't seen it.
And, you know, at first, when I read it, at first I was trying to grasp it. I was trying to figure it out.
Okay.
Because to me, he was kind of the same. But then I forgot that Rick Forbes points out that he is an undead skeleton and then turns back. So, yeah, that is a pretty big transformation. Yeah, I can see where Cindy was going now.
Okay. So. Stacy, you know, I always, you know, it's kind of expected that I don't see a lot of these movies, but I'm disappointed in you today, Stacy. How come you're not seeing these movies? I'm trying to deflect the blame here.
I feel like my mom is disappointed in me. I feel all guilty.
Well, I'm noticing a pattern, though, because a lot of these, you have to have boxes of Kleenex. Do you guys just not like emotional movies?
I don't like emotional movies. So that might be part of it. And that actually probably is the reason why I haven't really sat down to see it. But yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Christina, you're up with Lisa.
Lisa Yost. Okay, since B didn't take it, I will. I am going with Ariel Mermaid. Not sure why she called her Ariel Mermaid, but
because she goes for a mermaid.
Oh, Ariel Mermaid, human. There's pauses there. Yeah. We're learning about the period here. Human with no voice, back to mermaid, then human again with a voice.
And a pretty big emotional change as the story plays along, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
okay. All right, good one.
Yeah, so Emily Moore said, I'll go with one that's strictly physical. Jack-Jack and Incredibles 2. At risk of spoilers, I won't give too much explanation, but let's just say there's several physical changes.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. So no, I will give you that.
Okay.
That's true.
Michael, finish this up.
We have to wait until they... Yeah. Tony Passero, says Hercules, Zero to Hero. So he went with the song lyric.
Mm-hmm.
And then should I go ahead and give his other one too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Tarzan's Jane goes in an interesting reverse transformation, civil to native.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. So before we started the show, I kind of asked, do you guys have one more in your back pocket? Stacy, do you have one or two more in your back pocket?
Yeah.
And I've got three. So these were ones that we wanted to make sure we save something for the show. So let's go again.
If you take mine, I'm coming through this computer.
Don't worry. I will have taken it. I promise. You know I have obscure and random answers to a lot of things. Christina, you want to go first?
Oh, sure. Just one or two? I have two.
Good. Give me one for right now.
Okay. Well, my first one is not actually a Disney movie. I'm cheating a little bit. Is that okay?
Of course.
Okay. Well, you guys know my favorite show is Once Upon a Time, even though it's not on anymore. But yes. My first thought was Regina. Regina Mills has a huge transformation.
Okay. So you have to educate us because I haven't seen Once Upon a Time. So who is she?
She's the evil queen.
Okay.
But I don't want to give too much away because I want you to watch it.
Okay.
But she does go from evil to good.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And back to evil and back to good and then back to evil.
She has some inner struggles. I'm just saying.
Okay. As we all do.
Mike, right? Michael, give us a good one. I'll let you get it out first before I steal it from you.
Okay. Well, mine was Mr. Banks from Mary Poppins.
Oh, good one.
Good one.
I mean, they made a whole, basically another movie about that.
Yes, mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my big one that just thought of today, actually.
Okay.
So, very good. Do I need to explain it or we're good, right?
No, okay. No, we're Mary Poppins experts now, all right? We're experts now, right?
Especially Chris, yes.
Of course. So, Stacey, you're good. What's up?
All right. So, I picked Tiana from Princess and the Frog because I just love that movie so much. But she turns into a frog. So, that's just obviously a really big physical transformation. But, I mean, I guess that emotionally, she pretty much stays, I mean, maybe not the same, but she perseveres from the beginning to the end. But I think that she goes through a lot of struggles and just definitely comes out a different person at the end of the movie than at the beginning, but still holding on to her dream. But let's just face it, she turns into a frog. So that's a pretty big change.
She lets down her walls.
She does. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm waiting for the dad joke. Is there a dad joke coming, Michael, before I start?
No, I was being totally serious there.
Okay.
At least she didn't croak in the movie.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Hang on. Michael's writing it down really fast. So you're in a conversation.
Right there.
All right. Michael, you know how you and I, we often think very similarly, all right? And in many ways, you know, I think we're probably related somehow, because I think one of the biggest transformations was P.L. Travers and saving Mr. Banks.
Yes.
It was the whole movie was the stodgy and angry character fighting some issues from her past. It was essentially the movie to where at the very end, you can see her, you know, smiling and approving of what they did with the movie. So I'm going to put P.L. Travers up as one of the biggest transformations.
Good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a good one.
Christina, you're up.
Okay, I have one more. And I chose Jack Skellington.
Okay.
Because at the beginning of the movie, he feels like he's missing out on something. He's missing something in his life. So he finds Christmastown, and by the end of the movie, he realized what he had already was good enough. So he has his inner struggles kind of back and forth as well.
Okay.
And I feel like we can relate right now to Jack Skellington.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We're going to talk. We're going to put an asterisk on that statement and come back to it, okay? Yeah. Michael, you got another one for us?
I'm going to go with the dad theme here, and I picked Marlin from Finding Nemo.
Oh, he was in the short list. Good. Tell me why.
Yeah, because I think at the beginning, he, I don't want to spoil it. I think we all know, but he had his problems with giving space to Nemo, let's say. And I think by the end, although he's still a little timid at the end, he's learning that he needs to let go a little bit. And loosen the reins or, you know, the strings on the kid a little bit. So
okay. Good one. Good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
And he also is brave, you know, more so in the end. He learns to fight his, you know, being scared of everything all the time.
Yeah, look at the adventure he went on. I mean, he had to be brave through that. I don't think he realized how brave he was until at the end.
Mm-hmm. Stacey, you got another one?
Yeah, so I picked Maui from Moana.
Oh, good girl. Good girl.
Yeah, just because he starts off just, you know, so cocky and, you know, obviously he is the god of all of the world or whatever. And, you know, through his relationship with Moana, I think my cat is like sneezing up a storm in the background.
Nice.
Through his relationship with Moana and all the, you know, the adventures that they went on and just letting somebody else shine and letting, you know, the whole thing. I mean, it was just a really great transformation to see that. And, you know, you're cheering at the end for their friendship. And obviously he realized that, you know, he wasn't the end all of everything at the end of the movie. So
I'm going to also chime in on yours because he was on my list because we're talking about how like Tiana turned into a frog. Maui turned into about 100 different things. Shark head and the whale and a million different things. So
yeah, physically he's like the
king
the
of transformation
boy.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So he was on my, I have three. He was one of them as well, but I'm going to close on Will Turner from the Pirates of the Caribbean movie because he started off as a lowly apprentice to a drunken sword maker and then became a pirate hunter with Jack Sparrow. To a member of the pirate crew, to ultimately, spoiler alert, so turn off right now, 1, 2, 3, he became captain of the Dutchman. So between, as far as transformation goes, from being a lowly apprentice to the captain of the Dutchman, and physically, the confidence and the ability for that person that was a very meek, timid person to actually be one of the main characters in terms of aggression and in terms of he ultimately was a good villain, I guess you'd say, as the captain of the Dutchman. But I don't know if there was a bigger live action person that had a bigger transformation over a series of movies than Will Turner.
Yeah.
That's definitely an interesting pick. I was looking to pirates and I was looking at the obvious, you know, I was looking through the obvious characters
mm-hmm.
and I get to him, but that is very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so we talked about transformations today, and, you know, honestly, it kind of played into Stacey's running journey that she's taken in her life. And it kind of plays into my Netflix journey because I'm sitting down and I'm trying to binge Netflix a little more often. That's a transformation for me.
Trying new things.
Right, trying new things. Right. Finished Mindhunters and now I'm on the next series. So I'm working on it. And then I get to you guys and it seems that you're going through a transformation as well in your life. Can I give you the stage here for a few minutes?
You know, we didn't want to make a huge deal out of it because, you know, it just is one of those things in our life to where we're searching to where we actually belong, to be honest. And recently, well, what was it, 9-10 months ago, we moved back to Ohio to be near family. And I think we realized rather quickly that we enjoyed the time with family, but it wasn't where our heart truly was. And I think it's one of those things to where you don't really know what you have until it's gone, sort of thing.
Okay.
And so we have decided that Christina alluded to it earlier. She has got a job, but where that job is right back where we moved from.
In Florida.
Yay.
Okay. So you're moving back to Florida, correct?
Okay, I think it didn't take me very long to get to the point to where I wanted to move back to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I think it took Christina a little longer and the boys a little longer than that. But we all decided, I think a couple months ago, we all figured out that that's where we wanted to be. And there was one particular day where Christina had texted me, it feels like a Florida day. I'm really missing Florida. I had that morning actually teared up on the way to work thinking about Florida because it was a strange situation. The road I was taking, I don't know if you've ever, you know how when you can drive to work sometimes and you don't know how you got there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the road I was taking, I forgot where I was. I wasn't having a stroke or anything. I just, I forgot whether I was in Florida or whether I was in Ohio. And when I came to the realization that I was in Ohio, I got very disappointed. And this was the same, day that she said she had this. Well, then we got home and Jordan said, I'm really missing Florida today. And then later,
well, Cameron said it too. Yeah.
Yeah. All of us said it on the same exact day.
At different times.
And none of us had really heard anybody else say it. But at that point, and there were other, of course, things going on with jobs and lack of opportunities and things. And within 24 hours of putting out there that
I got offered 3 jobs.
Yeah.
Wow, Christina, that's amazing.
So took one and
yeah,
I will be there in October. So but I will be on my own away from my babies.
Goodness.
So I need probably a month. Yeah, I'll be there for a month by myself. So everyone down there, call me, text me, message me, keep me busy because I don't want to go crazy.
Oh, man.
Okay. Well, that's a huge, bold step again. And I remember the show when you moved back to Ohio, what a bold step it was. And like I mentioned to you, and you probably think I'm just saying this, you're brave in ways that Stacy and I aren't right now. So we just enjoy watching the journey and watching you guys do that. So
yeah, absolutely.
Can I ask you this much? So did you miss Florida? Or did you miss Disney? Or was it a combination of both?
I think it was a combination. I think at first it was mostly Florida itself.
Okay.
Just, oh, we could have been doing this. We could have been at Disney Springs or, you know, we could have gone to the beach today or whatever. But slowly, like more and more with each week passing by, we did start to miss that love for Disney that when our show back in January, we had talked about when we were moving to Ohio, we'd said, oh, we're kind of burnt out right now. So how quickly it kind of turned around for us. It was
so shocking.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was everyday things that were for me. So it wasn't so much, like she said, it wasn't so much Disney at first. It was the Publix we used to shop at, or seeing palm trees or seeing the hot air balloons that would go over our house. What initially it became was, I think for me, was when I stopped being jealous and angry at the people who got to go to Disney every day like we used to. Once I stopped being angry about that and started realizing that that was just where I wanted to be, the internal conflict that I was having went away. And I was able to see that that's where I want to be. It doesn't matter if anybody else is there, or if anybody else knows I'm there, or if I ever do anything with Theme Park Brothers, or if I ever do anything again, that's where I want to be. So I kind of pushed.
And, but we will continue.
Well, yeah, we will. But
which is another thing.
Okay.
We felt like we couldn't continue it up here. Yeah. It was a struggle.
For sure. I figured that would be a problem once you guys move back to continue on Theme Park Brothers, unless it became all Kings Island all the time, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm excited for you. You know, I know this is going to be a big challenge, again, getting everything back down there and reacclimating and building new lives, new jobs, new opportunities to work. So it's going to be, you know, a huge voyage. So I'm excited just to see it. You know, you've got friends down there. You know, Pete's down there right now. So there are people down there. You certainly don't need, I mean, you have your own friends. I noticed that, Christina, when you put out posts, you could put out a random post. Where's your favorite place to eat? And not knowing your friends personally, I would say probably 3/4 of the people who respond to your posts are friends you had when you were living in Florida. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Those people, you know, they are still part of your life. So I bet you're super excited to rejoin that.
And the other good news that I had, and this is just on my front, is that the two of the four jobs that I've been doing up here, I'm able to do down there as well. And I actually may be able to do all four. So that's exciting to me, because that was a huge issue for us down there as well, was how were both of us able to work?
Stacy, just so you know, one of his jobs is nighttime vigilante, just so you know that. So he's going to bring his cape and tights down there to Davenport, Florida. And
well, I hope so.
And he's going to be able to do that down there as well. So,
and bouncer in a nightclub. That's what I do before that.
Of course.
That job.
Dead joke, man.
And a comedian.
All right. Okay. So if anyone's got any questions and are going to follow along in your journey, because, I mean, if you're going out in October, Michael's going down in December or January, what could people, how could people contact you? You've been on the show before. I mean, you're some of our closest friends. So, but give us your information again one more time, please.
Oh, well, here's my phone number. No.
Yeah.
I swear most people have my phone number already. I don't know how that happens. Just find me on Facebook. Really, that's
now
the
I'm
best
starting
way.
To worry about this month away situation here.
Just find me on Facebook. Hey, I'll be with Tamara. We're good.
And Michael, how can people get in contact with you, buddy?
Well, always at Theme Park Brothers. We do still check it. It's still there. Mm-hmm. I'm Michael Black 2396, I think, at Facebook, but I don't think anyone has. I'm losing friends faster than I'm gaining them. So
it's all
I don't,
those dad jokes.
Yeah.
It's your jokes, Mike. It's your jokes. There's no doubt. Dad jokes.
For all the political banners I'm flying at Disney World. But other than that,
he's not.
I'm not. Just joking. You can cut that out.
No, I'm leaving it. It's okay. I'm leaving it. So if Stacy, I know people can find us on the Edcot page and on the WDW Review Facebook page, as well as Instagram and Twitter. How about you? Do you want to plug anything else, Stace?
I don't think so. I just would love to have everybody join us over at Edcot. It's just continuing to prove to be the best part of my day. Just being part of this family, and it's just great. So please come and join us if you haven't already. Come on over.
And as my last piece for today, guys, the first person that could share a picture of Stacy on her race weekend, I will send you I will send you a WDW Review sticker in the mail for the first person who can find this and share this, please. So Stacey,
you are the worst friend ever.
We have a head start.
Yeah. Michael, you and Christina don't count. Yes, you saw who's listening. You guys
now
can't.
I have to go see if there's privacy settings on those photos.
All right. Thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See you, everybody.